Today's episode, number 63 to be exact, is another dumb birthday game, this time from November 13th, 1994. Now, this is an excellent example of Norm's appeal to younger listeners, and I've titled it The Dumb Birthday Game, College Bowl Edition. All our players are attending college in the Boston area. Well, to be truthful, I'm not sure about one, but he still is a younger caller. Our contestants, Scott from Higher Education Unknown, Jonathan at Harvard University, Raj from MIT, the peer-pressured Lara from BU, Sid Whitaker, producing, playing, and a student at BU, and the Dean of Traffic School, Jack Hart. For some reason, I was busy in the newsroom and could not participate. Okay. An interesting tidbit about Jonathan. He was the co-creator of Inside Edge magazine, a periodical geared towards 18 to 24-year-olds. Norm had spoken to him earlier and plugs it a few times during the game. Mr. Jonathan has done quite well for himself, as he is a CFO of some large company now. The celebrity birthdays and events. Whoopi Goldberg, Linda Christian, Richard Mulligan, Madeline Sherwood, Joe Mantegna. And for events, what year did the Holland Tunnel open? Walt Disney's Fantasia made its world premiere. And in what year was artificial snow invented? During this game, many stories are told, references made, opinions given, and souls bared. Whew! Did I build that up enough for you? Episode 63, the College Bowl edition of the Dumb Birthday Game, starts now.
Good, thanks. The first crack at this?
Yeah.
You're a young guy too, aren't you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
26.
Oh, that's a beautiful age. Excellent, excellent age. Because Jonathan Sue is the... is with I keep forgetting the first word, Inside Edge magazine. We talked with Jonathan early, excellent magazine, Inside Edge. All of us young kids, young guys especially, like it because it's a magazine for young men. And so I'm trying to be a man of the 90s, Jonathan.
Right, right.
And I don't know how to do that, see. I'm still trying to be, I'm trying to catch up like to the 60s.
Well, you know, listening to your jingle, I think you've caught up, so I wholeheartedly pat you on the back.
Okay.
Especially at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll pat anyone on the back.
And a wholehearted pat on the back is so much better than just a plain pat
of
on
course.
The back. Okay. You know the rules to this. We just tell you who was born on this day. You just have to guess their age. So
sure.
That's not a big thing. But if you win, you win absolutely nothing worth anything.
Oh, good.
Hey, so I'm pleased about that, and I'm very proud.
I like worthless stuff. It's good.
It's good, because you got something to give to the flea market in the morning.
There you go.
Yeah, and we have Raj, who's, of course, Jonathan's a student over at Harvard, Raj is over at MIT. Hi, Raj.
Hey there, Uncle Norm. How you doing?
I beg your pardon?
Hey there, how you doing?
Oh, how you doing? That was, I thought it was a trick question.
Well, you know, Norm, I wouldn't pat you on the back, but I'd gladly take the shirt off yours.
Okay, I thought you were going to say, but I'd gladly smack you right in the mouth and perhaps break your nose. I thought you were going to say something, but you're too kind to do that kind of stuff.
No, I would never do that.
Hey, what are you doing up there, Raj?
Oh,
we're in the
birthday game.
Yeah.
Yeah, then not much happening for either of you guys. So it shows you what social outcast you guys are.
Yeah, there we are, 3 o'clock talking to Norm.
I know it. Boy, I won't tell anybody if you don't.
Norm, will you be my date tonight?
We have somebody who may be your date tonight. This is Lara, who's over at Boston University.
I got dibs on Lara. You remember Norm from last time?
I recall that very, very clearly. That's right. That's why I wanted both of you on the game with me today.
Good.
How you doing, Lara?
Hi. Hi, John.
Hi, Lara, right?
Right, Lara.
See, I can remember women's names right on the radio, right there.
Good for you.
You have a few guys to pick from. You get Scott, who's only 26,
mm-hmm.
and you get Jonathan, who's over at Harvard. You get Raj, who's over at MIT. You're at BU.
Mm-hmm.
Are things beginning to fall in shape a little bit?
Oh, this seems to be falling in a lot of shape right now.
Really?
Really.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And we have, let's see, who else we've got? We got Jack Hart. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
And Jack is a young guy, too, although he's a good deal older than any of you, because you're about 30?
32, yeah.
Oh, 32. Oh, that's a nice
grandfather in this bunch.
No, you're not the grandfather in this bunch. Not while I'm around, you're not. You understand? Don't try to usurp my place in the sun, fella.
Sorry.
Yeah. And we also have Sid Whitaker, sir, who's our producer. Yes, Sid is, what, you're about 20, 21?
I'm 21, yes.
And you're also at BU.
That's right. So I think Laura and I have...
Lara,
yeah, like in Lara's theme. Lara's theme, that's right, from...
Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago, as opposed to Tara's theme, which is from Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Wow. As opposed to Paris theme, which is from the...
Well, the movie version of the paramedic series that was on in the...
I know it sounds like that, but it's actually from a film, an industrial film called The Romance of Steel Ingots. Yeah, that was Paris theme. I know people get them both mixed up a lot. Okay, and Tony's not playing the game with us today.
I couldn't get Tony to get out of the newsroom. So
he's terribly busy doing other stuff. So this is the panel, and it's an exciting panel,
mm-hmm.
I think, because I'm excited about it. Then again, I get excited about anything. I get excited about waking up in the morning or at night, whatever the case may be. Okay, today is the birthday of Whoopi Goldberg. She was born November 13th. And, of course, as you know, her real name was Jack Benny. But somehow there was already somebody with that name. Anyway, star of numerous films, including Sister Act and Serafina, won supporting actress Oscar for Ghost, and, of course, just apparently split up with Ted Danson. And I think she's losing... Has she already lost the TV show?
Oh, yeah.
I thought she did a great job interviewing. She really... talk with people like she cared about them and wanted to know. And I'm sorry that she lost. I thought she was one of the good interviewers on radio or television.
Well, people want juicy tidbits. They, you know, they want to find out what goes on in people's bedrooms, and she wasn't coming up with that.
I guess that's true. She just talked kind of legitimate, nice conversation.
Mm-hmm. And they stuck it right after Koppel, which is, I don't know, not the best, at least in the Boston market,
was right after Koppel. Yeah. Well, Koppel doesn't do too badly, but she's also up against some pretty strong other talk shows. But I think maybe that's true. Maybe people like some of these other talk things, like I slept with my wife's sister's husband.
And that's so tacky.
What's that?
It's just too tacky.
Sure, the topic for Jenny Jones tonight was people who watch their wives connubial situations.
Who watch their wives having sex with other men.
Yes.
Is that what you're afraid to say?
Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, some
connubial?
Of the... Some,
connubial?
Connubial, yeah. Yeah, some of these topics. get to be...
What's the etymology of that canoe? I mean, well,
yes, it is, because it usually was done in a canoe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Especially when it was another member of your, like your wife's sister, or watching your husband or something. That was, usually it took place in a canoe, and that's how the word...
On a bed of birch shavings.
Birch shavings, that's right, yeah. Too, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you tend to get splinters from that, or worse?
You can.
Yeah.
That does happen on occasion.
Yeah, that would be a bad situation.
Okay, we'll start with Scott. Now, what do you think, how old do you think Whoopi Goldberg is on this very day, Scott?
I'm going to shoot for about
33. Okay, what do you think, Jonathan?
105.
Just to pick a number at random.
Sure.
Okay. Now, what do you think, really?
She's 31.
And Raj?
I was 35.
Okay. And the lovely Lara, who's the only woman on this entire panel today. Boy, you must just, your ears must be just a ringing.
It's the thrill of my life.
Through Horse Hill.
Yeah. And next to having a root canal job last summer, I recall. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to pick a much older age, but I guess I'm going to conform to peer pressure.
Well, no, I don't conform to peer pressure. You know, be an individual.
No, I just cave into peer pressure all over the place. So I'm going to go with 37.
Yeah, I do too. And so my peer pressure would say she's... She's about 69, 80, or 70.
You should start smoking. It's cool.
Smoking is cool?
Well, I was going to try and see if we could get her into some, like, peer pressure situations.
No. No, I don't get peer pressured about, like, substances.
Did you understand what Jack was just talking about? Because I'm...
She succumbs to peer pressure.
It's okay. Nobody pays attention to Jack anyway.
No, because I didn't... I try to pay attention to what he's saying, but I didn't follow that at all. Anyway, how old do you think she is, Jack?
Oh, 38.
38. What do you think, Sid?
I'll say 34.
34. Okay, she's actually 44.
Jeez. And I was going to say 43.
Now. Yeah, no. Well, you were the closest. You said 37, Lara. So you actually won that round.
I said 38.
Oh, I'm sorry. You did say, I'm sorry, Lara.
But you said I won. Jack. So that would be unethical for you to take that.
Oh. Yeah, no, I have to. Well, I'm unethical. Nobody ever said I was ethical. I never made that claim.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. Actually, Jack Hart did win. He did say 38. You were very close. If you hadn't succumbed to peer pressure, you might have said 40 or 42, and you would have been closer.
No, I was actually going to say 43.
See, this is how you should stand out. Never mind peer pressure. Don't let them force you into anything.
Yeah, it's just guys tend to do that.
Yeah, it's not a healthy thing, Larry.
Jonathan, are you taking notes in the magazine? Or?
Yeah, John, what would you say about this?
Oh, about this entire little conversation here?
Yeah, John.
I like how you're taking on five guys at one time.
Talk about
what kind of a program am I running here? What is this? Okay, how about Linda Christian? I don't know how much you know about Linda Christian. She was born Blanca Rosa Welcher, which means White Rose, I guess, in Welcher, Mexico. Blanca, B-L-A-N-C-A, Rosa, R-O-S-A, and W-E-L-T-E-R, Blanca Rosa Welcher. But her name in movies was Linda Christian. She was married for a while to a Tyrone Power for about 6 years, romantically linked to Hugh O'Brien and Errol Flynn. So she was in movies several years ago. I can give you that clue anyway. She was in Green Dolphin Street and the VIPs, a number of other movies. Very much of a glamour girl back in, probably back in the 50s, 40s and 50s.
Mid-40s?
Yeah. Oh, you know all about that. Okay. What do you, let's start with you, Sid. What do you think? Linda Christian.
Jeez.
Jeez, yeah. But, Linda
Christian. Yeah,
that's
what I think, yeah. Yeah. I'll say 78, Norm.
78, okay. And Jack, what do you say? 82. Okay. And the lovely Lara, surrounded by a whole bunch of men.
69.
Okay. Ooh. And what... We don't need smacking our lips. This is not smacking our lips time in a suggestive manner. Let's go to Raj quickly. Or maybe that was Raj we just went to.
No.
No, it wasn't you, Raj. No. Okay. How old do you think?
I'll go with 77.
77. Okay, Jonathan?
Let's try 88.
Do they call you Jonathan? Or I noticed Larry's calling you John. Is that what they call you, or what do you think?
Jonathan. It's just a name. We're very liberal here.
How philosophically liberal you are. That's wonderful. And Scott, that's just a name, too.
Yeah.
And Linda's just a name. What do you think her ages?
Common name. I think she's 80 years old.
80 years old. Okay. She's actually 70.
Wow.
And Lara said 69, so she was the closest. So you did win that round because you didn't bow to peer pressure, Lara, and I appreciate that.
No problem, Norm.
That's another expression that just drives me wild, is that no problem. Excuse me, sir. I appreciate you lifting my car up by your bare hands, turning it around and changing a tire while picking, you know, while holding the jack in your teeth.
Oh, no problem.
I'm glad you've changed your entire schedule around in order. Anyway, Richard Mulligan is the next fellow. Richard Mulligan appeared in the group Little Big Man on the TV series The Hero, as the fidgety father on Soap and Empty Nest. He's also in something right now. Richard Mulligan is in some this whole thing that I'm reading was written some about last year.
He's still on Empty Nest.
What's that?
He's still on Empty Nest, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show on NBC, right?
Oh, Empty Nest. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
he's on Empty Nest.
Okay, he's a regular on Empty Nest. Okay, Richard Mulligan. He's been on a whole bunch of stuff. I think maybe some people would not remember his name, but they would know what he looked like.
They'd recognize him from what he looked like. Anyway, Raj, you know Richard Mulligan. How old do you think he is?
I'll go with 61.
61, says Raj. Okay, what would you say, Scott?
56.
And Lara?
57.
Okay, and what do you think, Sid?
58.
Yeah. Okay, Jack?
61.
61. Okay, 61. Jonathan?
What's the high bid so far?
The high bid is actually 61 is the high bid.
I'll bid 61.5.
Well, we can make that 62 or 61, you see.
That could be 62 then.
See, because it couldn't be 61.5 since today is his birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so you say 62. Well, you should have said 61 because that's how old he is. And that means that Raj and Jack both got that. Uh-huh. Boy, this is a fast movie. Is this kind of a fun kind of thing, Jonathan? The kind of thing you'd want to write 9 or 10 pages of stuff?
In fact, I think it's going to be on my next party theme article.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What happens when phone lines go awry?
Yeah. That'd be a good article for Inside Edge where you'd have, kind of fun things for a party, guessing ages of people, well-known people.
You know, I always wondered what happened if I ever called one of those 1-900 singles lines and get 5 guys and 1 girl in the line. Hey, Lara.
Hey, John, you don't need to do that.
Oh, that's right. I run a magazine.
That's right. You're a big time publisher. You're a big time guy.
I'm a big time guy sitting on a phone at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, what about me? This is my entire career. Yeah, here I am, a grown man.
Well, normally,
like,
you're
nobody
paid for
had to dial 1-900 to do this, though.
But here I am, a grown man, past the peak of perfection, now the other side of the hill, and I'm sitting here doing a program at 3:27 in the morning, talking on the telephone, guessing people's ages. What does this say for me, for God's sake? You think my mother would be terrible? Yeah, would my mother, would she be proud of me? Yeah, my nom, and he's on the air during the night. He's playing some stupid game, and he's on the phone all night long. That's what he calls that, a career.
With 5 guys and a girl.
Yeah, and sometimes a whole bunch of guys, and anyway. Madeline, here's a name I'm not familiar with. Maybe you are Madeline Sherwood or Madeleine Sherwood, who's from Canada. Character actress, appeared in Hurry Sundown, was the mother in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and then she was in the TV series The Flying Nun. Of course, The Flying Nun was Sally Fields, so we're going back a little bit for that. She was the mother in that.
She must have been the heavyset woman. Who shows up and you see her everywhere. You never know her name.
Yeah, that's
like a big Irish face.
Madeleine Sherwood, that could be the one you're talking about. What was she in The Flying Nun? Was she the kind of sort of the head sister of the group or something?
No. She was the second in command, but sort of like the sensible one of the band of rogue nuns.
That is such a beautiful description.
Hey, Norm, did I ever tell you about the time that I ran into a band of rogue nuns? In fact, yeah. That's an article on the last issue.
Rogue nuns.
Yeah, rogue nuns go right.
Yeah, rogue nuns who have influenced my life. From
I think their album is number one right now, the Rogue Nuns.
And one thing I wanted to ask you, Jonathan.
Sure.
You have a thing in the current issue of Inside Edge. You notice the way I'm leaning over backwards to give you publicity just unashamedly.
Sure.
Yeah.
We love it for it.
Well, because we got a big audience, so you probably sell about one extra copy as a result of all of this. And I'll meanwhile get fired for the kind of obsequious attitude I have.
Sure.
But anyway, we have a thing in here called, it has to do with, it says Boston is in the... Are you talking about records?
Oh, you mean the up-and-coming groups.
Up-and-coming groups. And you mentioned, yeah, that's right, up-and-coming in Boston.
Right.
Now, this is a national magazine.
Sure.
Or maybe even an international magazine.
Yep, international.
Okay, but you say up-and-coming in Boston. Is each issue going to feature a different city, or you say that because your headquarters are here in Boston?
Well, we are going to feature a different city in each issue. You got to look out for the next issue. We do have up-and-coming in Atlanta. We cover all the different aspects, but the thing that was great about this one was that we had a launch party back in April, and we featured the hottest music from the Boston area. And these two are the hottest, fastest rising stars that we could find, or that, you know, we like to look at their pictures. So that's essentially how we make our editorial decisions here.
Okay. Which two?
This is called Heart, Body, and Soul. You're all familiar with it? I would describe it as a pop funk mix. I say that only because that's the way you guys describe it.
Think about it when In Vogue went bad. If In Vogue ever went bad, then you got Heart, Body, and Soul.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and anyway, we're back.
I still want to hear about the Rogue Nun.
Okay, we're back to Madeline Sherwood, who was apparently part of that group. Or something. I don't know what I'm saying. Lara, what do you think? How old do you think she is?
83.
83?
83.
Oh, 83. Okay. And, Sid?
I'll say 79, Norm.
79.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jonathan?
Hey, Lara, give me a hint. What do you think?
I went with 83, Jonathan.
Did you say higher or lower?
Higher, always higher.
Okay. This is a public TV show or radio show. Let's try 88 again.
I feel like Sally Jesse Raphael. Are you going to say 88? Is that what you said?
Yeah, let's try 88 again.
88 again, that's right, because you tried that for Linda Christian.
You know, I just realized that there are a lot of boring people who are born in this state.
No, today we don't really have exciting people. We're either. In a moment, after one more birthday of an exciting guy, who I think is a great actor, we'll do events that happened on this date, and you tell me the year. Mm-hmm. So that's an exciting twist for this thing. Gives you something to look forward to.
That is so wild and crazy.
Oh, this is really naughty. Oh, it really is.
Let me open the window. It's too hot in here.
I'm going to open the window, and then perhaps I might even leap out. Scott, what do you say? Madeline Sherwood, who nobody really cares about, and I don't know why I'm belaboring this damn thing. When this game never ends, he asks quizzically.
Madeline Sherwood,
yes.
She had to have been old in the 60s. That makes her even older now.
Somehow that seems to work. It's the law.
Goes backwards.
It's called the law of generics or
that's
something. Or geriatrics.
I'm going to go with
8 times up, 7.
How much?
77.
Okay. Hey, listen, this is maybe not the greatest thing in the entire world, but isn't this better than listening to TalkNet, for God's sakes? And I think you ought to take that money and invest it in I say mutual funds would be kind of nice on a one-year basis. However,
let's put it
you know, we could be doing that too, you know.
What's his name, Mike, the guy who does that, TalkNet?
I don't know. I never listen because I'm here. anybody got a radio here? Maybe we could turn them in. Turn them in while we're doing it.
It's not the Dolans.
Yeah, what's that? Oh no, the Dolans are on the other times. The husband and wife team.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
No, yeah, ridiculous. Oh, geez, that's awful, awful. They're ridiculous. Anyway, Raj, what do you think? Maybe they are ridiculous at that. I don't.
What was the youngest age
of the youngest was 77. Scott said 77.
All right. I'll go with 78.
78. Okay, Jack? 68. Let's see. I believe that 68 does come the closest. She's 71 years old today. This is the age of somebody who you probably want to send a birthday card to, except you don't know who she is. And isn't that just too bad? Okay, 68, you say, so you are the closest. So to sum up the score so far, Jack has got 3 out of 4.
Jeez.
Oh, he's just racing away with everything. Raj has won, and Lara has won. But Scott, Jonathan, and Sid, boy, you're just blowing steam.
But let me point out that I'm throwing this game intentionally so to let Lara win.
That's so sweet.
He is sweet, Lara.
Well, you're doing a really good job, John.
Yeah.
I cut it 3 out of 4.
Is he scoring points with you, Lara?
He's scoring a lot of points with me.
Oh, boy. Wow. when I was that age, boy, if any woman said that, man, I wouldn't have been able to sleep for a week. But then again...
So, John, will you be sleeping this week?
I won't be sleeping much this week. I'm not sleeping much now.
Well, I hope you guys have had your fun with your silly talk. Let's all try to be more mature about this, eh? Okay, Joe Mantegna. Mantegna, who's an awfully good actor. I don't have any information on him at all. Do you know what he's been in lately? He's been in a lot of movies lately, and he's a very low-key, kind of laid-back kind of actor.
And I can picture him, but I don't know what he's been in.
Games. One had the title Games in the title. He was a scam artist. But he's also been in more mainstream things, and I can't think of what they are. Do any of you know the name Joe Mantegna?
I know the actor, but I can't really picture him in anything that I'd like to watch.
Okay.
Wow,
that's a damning phrase, isn't it?
No, I'm one of those pop culture, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future type people.
Yeah, I can't think of... He's been a guest on some TV shows and stuff, but mostly he's been in some excellent films. He is an excellent actor.
Right.
Okay, let's start with... let's see, who we start with that we haven't started with? Have we started with you yet, Raj?
I don't think so.
Okay, we'll start with you now. What do you think, Joe Mantegna?
I'll go with 50.
Okay. And what do you think, Scott?
Joe Mantegna?
Yeah.
Never heard of him. So
50, because you pronounced his name just as smart and right. Mantegna. Okay, and Lara?
What were the bids so far?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
What were the bids so far?
The bids so far, we bid 58 and 50.
That's those pretty original, 50, Lara.
Yeah, 58 is the high bid. And of course, if you bid any higher than that, you do get an umbrella with the with WGBH on it. And nobody can figure out why a promotion department is doing that, but what the heck? They're running amok.
Who gets to keep the money?
Yeah, as long as they don't have any souvenirs with WRKO on them, we're all right.
Thank God.
Yeah. They might have picked them up cheap, you know.
I think they got him at my auction.
I forget. Who we're talking about Lara. Yeah, Joe Mantegna. How old is he?
52.
Okay. And Sid?
I'll say 66.
And
oh.
What do you... You're shocked by that, Lara. I can tell by the...
I was. That was very out of... It was unexpected.
Yeah, it's higher than other people have bid. That's true, but that's the way Sid is. What is he? What are you going to do?
Higher than other people?
He's higher than other people. That's right.
It's because he's standing on a box.
Right. And higher is good.
Higher is very good. Well, Jonathan, what do you think?
He's 46. I know he's 46.
You know he's 46.
There you go.
Okay. And what do you know he is, Jack?
Oh, I know he's a Mantegna of a man.
Sorry.
He's 48.
See, they've already, all of them have already outgrown your humor.
I see.
Yeah. He is 46. When Jonathan said he knew, no, you really did know.
No, I didn't.
Really?
But
you guess you hit it right on the butt.
That's how I actually go through life. I kind of just fake knowing, and people get really impressed.
Wow. Sounds just like Harvard.
How impressed is
I think I'm just terribly impressed. Okay, this is probably even duller than what we've been doing so far, but this is, I give you an event, and you tell me what year it happened, because the event would happen on November 13th, this date. For example, the Holland Tunnel was open.
Oh,
that's an exciting one. Mm-hmm. Under the Hudson River. I don't know why they didn't call it the Hudson Tunnel. Why'd they call it the Holland Tunnel? Because it was probably Eugene P. Holland was the guy, the chief architect or something. But at links in New Jersey and New York, first underwater tunnel for vehicular travel or traffic, it was named for Clifford Milburn Holland, the engineer in charge of construction from 1910 until his death in 1924. Total cost of build was a little over about $48.5 million. Let's see if there's anything else here that you want to know. No, just providing access between New York City and New Jersey beneath the Hudson River. Those dates ought to help you, though. And what year was the Holland Tunnel actually opened? November 13th, what year? What would you say, Jonathan?
I'm from New Jersey. And I've gone through the Holland Tunnel about a million times. Let's see. It was opened in 1938.
Okay, what do you think, Raj?
I think I'll go with 1936.
Okay, and Sid?
I'll have to say 1934.
He really has to say that because there's a woman standing next to him with a knife right up against his throat.
Lara?
Yeah, it's Lara. She's getting blamed for everything. Scott, what do you think?
Well, knowing of the knowledge of all the bridges and tunnels that were built, I have to say...
I know you have pictures of all of them, too, because you're a bridges and tunnel kind of guy.
That's the type of guy I am.
Yeah, I know it.
A lot of the stuff was built between the 30s, so I'm going to go with 1933.
1933, okay. And the lovely Lara.
See, I had a really bad experience last time I had to go through the Holland Tunnel. I try not to think about it.
What kind of an experience was that?
Right after we went through the tunnel, me and my friend went dancing in New York, and we parked our car away from the parking lot, even though I would have paid for the entire parking fee. But he thought, no, we'd park farther away, and all of our stuff, including my brand-new jacket, got stolen out of the trunk, and I'm just never going to forgive him for
that. Did you offer to pay for the parking, Lara?
I would have probably paid. It wasn't that bad. It was probably like $15. Why do most girls not offer to pay?
Yeah, most guys just... Well, I don't know.
You don't have to pay for the whole thing. Yeah, I never heard of a woman actually offering to pay anything for anything I ever did. Anything. For my entire body, they never paid anything.
So I just got, all this stuff stolen out of the trunk that I treasured. And
they didn't steal the car, they just opened the trunk and stole stuff out of there?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Did the guy lose anything?
Yeah, he lost a jacket too, but it wasn't nearly as nice as mine, because mine was brand new and mine was suede.
Did he have insurance on the car? He must have had insurance on the car. Did you collect it all?
No, we couldn't collect anything. It was terrible.
Oh, Lara, I'm sure. Did you not ever go out with him ever again after that?
No, I've seen him since then, but I always think about it, and I'm pretty bitter.
Yeah.
Ever give out the date? Take a year.
Oh, what year was the tunnel opened?
1937.
Okay, Jack, what do you say?
Let me see. The Sumner Tunnel was opened in 34. 33.
1933, same as what Scott said.
Sure.
Okay. Actually, the year was 1927. Oh. And so you were all a little late on that, but...
I was blocking out the terrible experience, so I couldn't think that.
Yeah, but Jack and Scott both said 33, so they were the closest. And it says here Lyra should be given some kind of a prize because she was blocking out a bad experience with a jacket.
Right.
Yeah. So it says so right here. Jack has got four of them. He's already really won everything. I'll give you another one. The world premiere of Fantasia. Was released on November 13th, and the idea came from a casual conversation between Walt Disney and orchestra leader Leopold Stokowski. They had been talking about a Mickey Mouse cartoon. It was a complete flop at first, and in 1967, it was re-released and became a hit. So I guess it was re-released in 1967, but what was the year it first came out? At its world premiere in New York, November 13th, and what year would that have been? Jonathan, what do you think?
Oh, I'd venture to say 1958.
Okay. And Lara? Did you have a bad experience there? Did anybody steal anything when you were watching Fantasia?
No, but my birthday is Snow White's birthday.
Wow.
For some Disney trivia. So, I'm going to go with...
You've lived a full, exciting life for somebody as young as you.
Right.
That's really exciting.
And I plan to live a lot more.
Oh, I imagine your experience is just beginning. I imagine you'll have tons more of them. This is probably just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, as it were.
Right, I definitely want to experience a lot more.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. Every morning I wake up and say, what do I want to experience now? I want to drink life in. I want to experience it to its fullest.
I want to experience toast. That's what I say when I get out of bed.
Yeah. Sometimes I do that, too. I say, how about a little bit of orange juice for the time being? Then I'll experience the big stuff later. But meantime, half a glass of orange juice would start it off nice.
Well, what the hell are we talking about? What is this,
I guess? Anyway, Lara, why is it when we get to you, everything slows down and comes to a complete stop?
Because everybody likes to listen to us.
I guess that must be.
I think it's because we're all so excited.
Mm-hmm. I don't ever give out the year and get on with it.
You're holding
us up, Lara.
Okay. Are you cranky?
Okay, November 13th, what year? Fantasia's world premiere.
What was the date given out before?
1958.
1962.
Okay. Scott, what do you say?
Fantasia, 1953.
Okay, Raj?
1954.
1964. 54. Okay. Jack?
1939.
He sounded
too confident with that.
He did sound confident with that.
Well, everything came out in 1939.
That's right. Gone with the Wind was 1939. I think The Wizard of Oz was 39.
Yeah.
And, some other things. 34, I mean, it was a wild year for the Oscars.
Czechoslovakia was in 1939.
I believe that was invaded during that very same year.
Wow.
And what do you say, Sid?
I think I'm going to give in to Jack's peer pressure here and say 1938.
Well, it's too bad. You should have said exactly what Jack said. He was a year off, but the year the other way is 1940.
Wow.
Yeah, 1940. So Jack has got 2, 4, 5. This is just embarrassing. It's just walking away with everything, I tell you. Just one more, and then we'll say goodbye to this game, because I can tell by the way your eyes are glazing over and you're stifling a yawn that we just about reached the end of this. You're too numb even to respond to that, are you? Okay. This would be the year that artificial snow was invented.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I know that's not terribly exciting. Unless you own a ski slope somewhere. Vincent Schaefer invented artificial snow, making skiers happy when he dropped ice pellets on Mount Greylock, Massachusetts. Not exciting to know that it was first used here. The date was November 18th, but what was the year, do you suppose? Let's see if I can find some other information about that.
So we're not talking about the snow that you put on Christmas trees and...
No, this is the real snow, you know, with the snowmaking machines and all that.
Yeah. This is the real fake snow.
No, this is the real fake snow, that's correct. We'll start with you, Scott. What do you say? Artificial snow invented and used on this date, November 18th. No, this isn't November. Yeah, November 13th. What year was that, you suppose?
Knowing that I'm not a skier... I'm going to go with 1947. Yeah, it seems like everything was done then.
That's right. All other things were done then. The other things were done in 1939 or 40 for movies. Okay, what do you think, Jonathan?
Let's see. I ski a lot, and they really haven't improved the quality much of the snow now.
Well, snow is snow, is it not? You know, how could they improve the quality?
Well, you know, you can get big snowflakes, you can get small snowflakes.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Let's say 1912.
Okay.
Trust me, ice was back then.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably caused the sinking of the Lusitania.
Yeah.
Titanic, I guess, was 1912, yeah. Or was it? Yeah. I don't know, I forget now.
April 12th.
April 12th, 1912?
Yeah.
You know that for a fact?
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Mm. That's a point. Give him a point for that.
Okay, 1 point. Coming up. Raj, what do you say?
Something like, 1954.
1954.
By the way, Norm?
Yes?
I just wanted to say the number 76.
Oh, that's the spirit, yeah.
Just so I could hear Jack Hartman once during the game, because I know it's going to be happening.
That's right, and the guy would probably go home unfulfilled. Otherwise, yeah, unfulfilled, because he didn't get a chance to say that. That's the spirit, yeah. Okay, hold it, you guys. It's time for Lara. Hello, Lara.
Hi.
And I imagine you had a bad experience with artificial snow, did you?
No, but snow definitely reminds me of how cold it was that night without my jacket.
You're breaking our hearts, Lara. Aww.
Well, the way she said that wasn't enough to just
but I have to give the guy credit in the fact that he did actually give me his sports jacket to wear.
You said his jacket was stolen, too.
No, not his coat, but his sports jacket.
Oh, I see.
The guy must have been freezing, like, if it was that cold. What was he wearing underneath?
Probably just, like, a T-shirt and jeans.
Was he, like, a big guy?
Yeah, he was very buff. Very. But that's not the point. He was too cheap to pay to park, and that's it.
See, I hope that's a lesson to all you guys. Don't be so cheap that you save. That's right. You save a few pennies here, but you lose tons of money on the other hand.
Right, because God knows what would happen to your car if you just left it parked someplace and not paid the proper amount. And now we know what happens.
Do you guys find Lara exciting?
You seem bitter. Mm-hmm. She seems like a very bitter little girl.
You think a bitter little girl? Oh, that's so insulting. A bitter little girl.
I would appreciate the term woman. Thank you.
Okay. She's a bitter young lady. Bitter young woman. Oh, lady is good. Lady's good, yes.
You know, Jonathan, calling her bitter isn't going to get you anywhere very fast.
I know, but I'm stuck here at Howard Square.
But Jonathan is a big magazine publisher. He doesn't have to fool around. He's a publisher of Inside Edge. He's a big-time guy.
Yeah, just like people who do talk radio programs, right?
Yeah, we're big-time. Yeah, that's right. We're important people, and we can get any woman we want. Oh, sure, sure. Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you probably cavort around with the other big-time publishers, like publishers of Popular Mechanics.
We often go out there and go, how do we rebuild this engine block? And
that's right. Yeah.
And they ask me for dating tips, so it's a fair trade-off.
Yeah. How to firm up the propeller on your hat so you two can fly across the Atlantic Ocean. As Sam Selbovich did from Newark, New Jersey, over the Holland Tunnel in 1906. He was a pioneer back then.
Did that occur on November 12th, too?
What I like are the ads in popular science, for example, or Popular Mechanics, how to be an insurance investigator. And it always investigates women who are lying on the sidewalk with their dress just about 9 inches above the knee and stuff. They make everything sound so sexy. Or how to be an investigator in general, a private detective, which I thought would be kind of nice. I sent away, how did you become a private detective solving all these cases for the New York Police Department, Norm? Well, I sent away for the instructions in Popular Science. That got me going on this.
And I was able to, build a little helicopter out of vacuum cleaner parts while I was at it.
That's right. And also, I make big money growing mushrooms in my basement. Yeah. And I also bronze baby booties on the side and address envelopes. All thanks to Popular Science. I'm now a rich devil. Thank you. Okay, Lara, why is it when we get to you, everything does stop, but the artificial snow, which was the pellets dropped from on Mount Greylock, Massachusetts, on November 13th, what year was that anyway? After which I'll tell you how to use spare parts from a dishwasher and how to make a bicycle out of it. A motor-powered bicycle.
I bet you Jonathan gets to meet the editor of Boys Life, too.
That's right. And it doesn't pollute the air.
And we're all going on a camping trip together and we just cavort. Great.
Hey, that's nothing. I became an ordained minister out of the back of the magazine.
I know you did. Yeah. I know you did, Father. Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that you conducted my last wedding. That was so nice.
I get blamed for this conversation.
Now, it's been declared legal in all states except Arizona and parts of Tempe, New Mexico. So my wife and I never go there, of course. Anyway, Lara, what do you think?
I'm going to say 1936.
1936. You know something, Larry? You can say anything you want to say. You've got the guys all terribly excited.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine you've gone through life that way. And your father's probably very angry at you for it, so knock it off.
Yeah, my dad is definitely what I'd call bitter.
Where are you from, by the way?
Originally?
No, where's your home now? Besides BU?
Arizona.
Arizona?
Tempe.
Are you from Arizona, really?
Yeah.
Well, where in Arizona?
Sort of around Phoenix.
Around Phoenix?
Like a suburb of.
Oh, your folks live in a suburb of Phoenix?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, son of a gun. That is just so darn exciting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Good.
Do you know my cousin Irving? He lives in Tucson.
Yeah, I dated him for 2 weeks.
Wow. We're getting stuck in Lara again.
But he's the one who stole your jacket, by the way. He's just is on the other line. He just confessed.
No, actually, I didn't want to have to say this, but the name of the guy that did that is actually also Jonathan.
Oh, really?
Really.
Oh, is that the attraction that you have for this Jonathan?
That's why she's so bitter.
Oh, I see. Anyway, Jack, what do you say? What, the artificial snow, I know nobody cares.
Artificial snow, it sounds, you know, in the 50s, post-war, they came up with all the instant cakes and just add water, and it sounds like it should have been, you know, just add water and instant snow. It sounds like it should be from them.
Something maybe Clarence Birdseye maybe have helped invent.
Sure, in your grocery store.
That's right, it's a byproduct. While he was trying to invent how to freeze food, he came across artificial snow. And at first he thought it was rubber. He didn't know, and he thought he invented some kind of new gum. and he looked into the artificial freezer, and he said, "Hello, operator." She said, "Well," he thought it was a telephone. He didn't know. Anyway, Jack, the artificial snow. What year would you say?
Snow available for home use.
1932. Okay, and Sid, what do you say?
I'm going to have to go with 1927.
Yeah, you've been very quiet during all of this, I noticed.
Well, it's because I've been so excited about Lara.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Up in your brow as you speak.
See, you guys are just giving me such an ego boost.
Aren't you? We're glad to hear that.
Sid's from BU, right?
You give me
such
an ego boost. Yeah. I love the way you talk. You talk like every character on television. I don't mean that. I swear to God, I don't mean that. Anyway, the artificial snow was 1946, and so Scott, who said 1947, is the closest.
Wow.
So we're winding up the game now, not a moment too soon, with you, Jack, leading the pack with five wins,
mm-hmm.
and Scott has got two, which is, so he's second, and we have Jonathan and Raj and Lara all have one apiece. So the only person who hasn't scored at all, Jonathan has one also, is Sid. You, Sid. You said shame on this. This is the producer of this big time show.
Wow.
Not a one. I hope you're ashamed.
I'm going to go crawl under the table.
Well, I know you want to call Lara for a date and everything like that, because you both go to BU, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's disgusted with you and your lack of ability in this entire game.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Excuse me, Lara. You like losers? Is that what you're saying? You like losers?
Well, look at the guy she went out with to New York.
Gets her jacket stolen.
Exactly.
That's right. He set the pace for her entire life. She's only going to marry unsuccessful people and go out with unsuccessful people. Anyway, Sid, thank you very much for playing the game with us.
Thank you, Norm.
And I bet you're sorry that you didn't play the game with us, Tony.
Well, yes. Tony was here, he'd hang up.
Well, hey, good luck. It'll be fun following Inside Edge and seeing where you go with that, and then your next publication and two more magazines after that. And
yeah.
I would think by the year 2000, you will be a magazine mogul.
Hopefully. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot. Take care of yourself. Good luck. Okay, Raj?
Well, Norm, you know, this always makes my sorry life complete.
I imagine you can probably date any girl you want to, right? As just having appeared on this program.
Basically, I'm going to take the tape now and send it out to several and see what they say.
Okay, take care. And you too, Lara. Thanks a lot. You sound like a nice person. I appreciate talking with you.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Ooh, she said that's so cute. And you too, Jack, will be looking for a traffic report from you from just a very few minutes.
Absolutely.
I'm excited about that, son of a gun. Okay, we're coming up to news time, and then we'll be around for another hour, and we'll be happy to take some phone calls from you at 254-1030.
Our area code is the very lovely and exciting 617. And my name is Norm Nathan, along with Sid Whitaker and Tony Nesbitt and Jack Hart and Lois Avrilla and Lester Yankowitz and our entire crew of H. Norman Putklubnik and anyway, news right now.
Hello, operator? Oh, we're on. Did you just ask if I can listen to all these cassette tapes, take copious notes, write and open and close, voice, edit, and mix them, post them on the webnets, all while holding this large cabinet up with one hand and cleaning under it by holding a broom between my teeth? No problem. Closing the vault and riding the radio waves home for Alois Avrilla, Lester Yankowitch, H. Norman Putklubnik, Clarence Birdseye, Norm's cousin Irving, Sam Soblovich and his beanie copter, popular science and popular mechanics, full, exciting lives filled with orange juice and toast, Inside Edge magazine, artificial snow, TalkNet, heart, body, and soul, Blanca Rose Welter, industrial films, rogue nuns, connubial situations, Lara's, Tara's, and Paris themes, Sid Whitaker, the Minister of Traffic, Reverend Jack Hart, and the Doctor of Dumb Birthdays, Professor Norman Irving Nathan. And because I didn't play, I'm the regret-filled Tony Nesbitt.